Good morning, everyone. This is Dennis, mailbox 3030, and I'll be doing the health report for today. Today is October 16th. It says leafy greens safety alert. When Consumer Reports scientists recently tested 284 samples of fresh greens, they found six tainted with Listeria monocytogenes bacterium. Not everyone exposed to these gets sick, but almost everyone who does needs hospitalization, and about 20% die. Contaminated samples were bought at grocery chains such as Acme, Costco, Hannaford, and Whole Foods. See, our study was too small to draw conclusions about the safety of specific brands or retailers. Two were packaged, pre-washed greens, and the other four were loose heads of or bunches of green kale, green leaf lettuce, red leaf lettuce, and spinach. Consumer Reports experts say people can continue to eat leafy greens. However, it's important that those most likely to be affected by Listeria, which are older adults, infants, and young children, anyone with a compromised immune system, and pregnant women, carefully consider whether to eat leafy greens, including lettuce. Washing, he says, is mainly a helpful for getting rid of dirt and some pesticides, but not bacteria. The safest move, if you cook greens until they're fully wilted, they are likely to have been heated enough to be safe. Avoiding raw greens at restaurants will also help. 85% of outbreaks linked to greens stem from restaurant meals, according to a 2015 study. And remember, leafy greens are extremely nutritious. Unless there's an ongoing known outbreak for most people, the nutrition benefits outweigh the potential contamination risks. So you pay your money, it takes your chances with that, if it can be the case. Here's a... I don't know if this is an overstatement of things. A couple things here. It says three health benefits of sleep. In a review of seven studies, some of the sleep skimpers, those with less than 7 hours of nightly slumber, who lengthened their snooze time, showed reduced appetites, signs of better blood sugar processing, and fewer cravings for sweets and salty foods. Study subjects increased their sleep time by 21 to 177 minutes, with strategies like keeping strict bedtime schedules, sort of the normal things with that, the common sense things about sleeping. It says more sodium, more bloating. People with high sodium intake had a 27% higher likelihood of experiencing bloating than those who consume two-thirds less sodium, according to a Johns Hopkins study of 412 adults with high blood pressure. The volunteers followed diets that were low in sodium, which is 1,150 milligrams per day, and moderate, 2,300 milligrams, the current government recommendation, or high, 3,450 milligrams. Excess sodium may increase bloating by causing the body to retain more water or by reducing levels of beneficial gut bacteria that discourage digestive discomfort, the researchers say. So there's just a more of a technical discussion of things. It says, protect yourself from healthcare ripoffs, avoid scams, and fight back against surprise medical bills. It might begin with what seems like a helpful phone call. Someone who says he's from Medicare offers you a medical device to ease knee pain, or suggests a DNA test to assess your cancer risk. All he needs is to confirm your Medicare number. But this might be a plan to defraud you or Medicare by sending you a device or getting you to take a test you don't need and then billing Medicare for it. In fact, scams like this cost the system about $52 billion in 2017, driving up prices for everyone. The caller might also steal your medical identity, using the info you supply to impersonate you at a doctor's office or even gain access to your bank account. Unfortunately, fraud is widespread, and scams that target older adults are particularly common. Some charges that are technically legal can feel like a ripoff, too, like unexpected medical bills from providers you thought accepted your insurance or for services you thought were covered. Learn about health scams and ripoffs in advance so you can avoid them. Here's what you should know about a few common cons. The first is medical equipment fraud, how it works. Out of the blue, someone calls you to say your doctor has recommended a device, often a back or a knee brace, and asks for your insurance information. Almost everyone has discussed back or knee pain with a doctor, so this may seem plausible. but your doctor would have told you if he or she had ordered a brace for you. The problem? Generic back and knee braces may not help. They may even cause additional damage. Plus, scammers offering them can use your insurance information to bill systems fraudulently and assume your medical identity, and they might chase you looking for money. The fix? Never give your Medicare number or any health information to someone who calls. If you're in pain, talk with your primary care physician about your options. Second is bills that take you by surprise. How it works, for people with private insurance, surprise bills from out-of-network doctors and labs sometimes show up after a hospital visit. Why? An emergency room, for example, might be in-network, but some of its doctors or labs may not be. If you're a Medicare beneficiary, you're generally protected from surprise medical bills, but some other charges can still shock. For instance, you might be left with a hefty bill if a hospital keeps you under observation status rather than as an inpatient. Plus, if you need to stay in a nursing home afterward, Medicare will only cover it if you're first an inpatient at a hospital for 3 nights. And some important services, including long-term care and dental care, aren't covered by Medicare at all. The problem? In theory, doctors are supposed to classify people as inpatients if they're expected to be in the hospital for at least 2 nights, defined as being there at midnight. But a 2016 government report found that hundreds of thousands of patients had been categorized as under observation for at least one of the 3 nights they were in the hospital. Inpatient status usually costs Medicare more, so to avoid allegations of overcharging from Medicare auditors, hospitals might classify someone as under observation. In addition, for people with traditional Medicare coverage, the cost of long-term care and dental care can be exorbitant and beyond the budgets of many families. Even Medicare Advantage plans that include dental care may limit coverage to $1,000 per year or exclude procedures like fillings or crowns. And because your drug plan changes annually, a med that's fully covered 1 year might be extremely expensive the next. The fix? Hospitals are supposed to inform people when they're under observation status, but even then, there's not much you can do. People and their caregivers should seek a doctor's help to determine if they should be admitted as an inpatient. Inpatient status is especially important for those who may need nursing home care after a stay, but there's no appeal process once it's time to pay. If you're buying insurance that covers a service like dental care, make sure it provides enough coverage to be worth it, and read your drug plan every year to make sure everything you need is covered. The next is medical identity theft, how it works. Scammers try to get your Medicare number, might call with offers of, say, pain management classes, or Medicare, or plastic Medicare cards, which don't exist. They're paper. Your medical data can also be stolen in a data breach. Once a scammer has obtained your medical information, it can be used in a variety of ways. Data thieves might use it to impersonate you while obtaining medical care for themselves or others, bill for fraudulent medical goods or services, or pivot to other types of identity theft. The info one needs to commit medical identity theft happens to overlap a great deal with the info needed to open a financial account. The problem, having your medical data stolen, can put you at physical and financial risk. For example, if someone uses your ID, incorrect information could end up in your medical record, and you could get the wrong treatment, or you might get billed for the thief's medical services. The fix? Always read any explanation of benefits you receive in the mail to ensure it describes your services that you actually received. If you're not familiar with a procedure listed, call your insurer and doctor's office where the service was given to see whether someone else may have been using your ID. Never give your data to someone who calls or sends you an email. It's also important to file a police report, she says, because you might need to help restore your reputation. If you're notified that your identity was stolen in a data breach, follow the instructions you receive. They may include freezing your credit and updating passwords. And finally, it says tests and treatments you don't need. How it works? Scammers sometimes reach out to offer screenings that sound like they'll help keep you healthy, such as DNA tests to assess your risk for cancer or Alzheimer's, or full body scans to look for early warnings of disease, where they may offer services like stem cell therapy, which they'll claim can treat everything from knee pain to diabetes. Sometimes they'll call to say a doctor recommended a test. Other times you might see this information on flyers, in the mail, in an email, or at a booth, or at a health fair. Many of these tests, including DNA tests and full-body scans, are CT scans, are recommended only in very specific circumstances. The test can also give you incorrect or misleading information that leads to more testing or treatments you don't need. Stem cell treatments are almost never recommended. They're potentially illegal and sometimes dangerous. In some cases, scammers offering these services may also steal your identity, bill Medicare fraudulently, or ask for money. So the fix, check with your doctor before getting any screening or any treatment. Which seems like every day there are phone calls and messages from people who are offering to do something for you that you never heard of before and don't want to have anything to do with. But I guess there's lots of other people who are susceptible. If you make a thousand calls, if you get two or three people who will sign on for something, you can do everything you need to do from that point. Here's an article about the, says, the truth about heart failure, a guide to reducing risks and living well even if you develop the condition. Congestive heart failure is a serious illness, but it does not, as it's sometimes thought, mean the heart stops altogether. It signifies that the muscle is damaged and can no longer pump enough blood to meet the body's needs. This condition, which affects 1 in 5 adults, usually in the later years, can shorten life, but with proper treatment, people are living longer with better with heart failure. We have more medications at our disposal to improve quality of life for people with a weakened heart, says Guy Mintz at the Atlas Bass Heart Institute in Manhasset, New York. Coronary artery disease and heart attacks are major causes of heart failure. Managing your risk for problems such as high blood pressure, high cholesterol, or type 2 diabetes that could lead to such conditions is the best way to protect the heart muscle from injury. Physical activity 5 or more days a week and a healthy plant-based diet are key. Focus on eating lots of vegetables and fruits, 5 or more daily servings, and limiting processed food. If you have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, or diabetes, taking medication as prescribed can also cut heart failure risks. Know the signs. Heart failure is a constellation of signs and symptoms that the heart is no longer pumping as it should. Some of the common symptoms include shortness of breath during an activity, such as going up and down stairs, swelling in the lower limbs or abdomen, and trouble breathing while lying flat. You may feel the need to prop yourself up with pillows to sleep. If you experience such symptoms, see your primary care doctor. He or she may recommend such tests as a chest X-ray to look for fluid in your lungs or an EKG to evaluate your heart's electrical activity. A cardiologist may confirm a weakened heart muscle via echocardiogram, which shows how well your heart pumps blood. And lastly, it says, manage the symptoms. Heart failure can usually be cured, but you may be able to alleviate symptoms by following your medication regimen and making lifestyle changes. So, first, quit smoking. Doing so can lower blood pressure and heart rate almost immediately, which can cause shortness of breath. Secondly, it says eat right. Stick to a diet rich in fresh fruits and veggies, whole grains, low-fat dairy, lean meat, fish, nuts, and legumes. Reduce your intake of processed food. And thirdly, it says watch your sodium. Though most experts advise a low-sodium diet for heart failure, it has been neither proved nor disproved to cut symptoms. However, salt helps the body retain fluid. If you have a lot of congestive symptoms, such as swelling in your legs and feet, limiting your sodium intake to around 2,000 milligrams per day may help. And lastly, get physical activity. It helps to reduce your heart's workload. Ask your doctor whether you might benefit from a formal exercise-based cardiac rehab program, which might be covered by insurance. Well, as we say every week, a little bit of exercise certainly does help. For those of us in some of our ages here, the litany of drugs that we take and when we take them can be a challenge. So how do we keep things organized with this? So this article is Keep Your Meds Straight, Strategies to Stop Mix-Ups, Skips, and Mistakes. There are many side effects of aging. A big one, more pills. In a nationally representative Consumer Reports survey of almost 2,000 adults in the U.S., 40% of those 65 or older said they regularly take five or more prescription drugs. In addition to meds for chronic conditions, older people are frequently prescribed seasonal or temporary drugs. Plus, different pills can look alike, and familiar medical meds, especially generics, sometimes have a different look. Mix-ups and missed doses can be serious. A recent study of people with type 2 diabetes found that noncompliance with a medication program was linked to a 45% increase in mortality during the study period. So here are the three strategies to help you stay on track. The first says streamline the task. A complicated regimen which requires that people take numerous drugs at frequent intervals is number one reason for poor adherence. Label instructions can be confusing, twice daily versus every 12 hours, for example, and knowing which medications can be taken together isn't always intuitive. A study published in the JAMA Internal Medicine found that when people were asked to plan a dosing schedule that called for 7 medications in 24 hours, less than 15% did so in the most efficient way. To simplify your regimen, make sure you bring all of your medicines to your doctor or pharmacist to ask which ones can be taken together. Secondly, it says mind the details. Whenever you're prescribed a new drug, write down what it's for and how and when to take it, the correct dosage, and its brand or generic names. Keep this info about you, about all of your meds together in a list. To avoid confusion, tape a photo or a visual description on each pill underneath the name. It can, if you can spare samples, you can tape physical pills to your paper list. The list can help a pharmacist or doctor provide a comprehensive medication review, which includes identifying safety concerns. And then it says, tap into pillbox power. Combining regular medications with a habitual task can reduce the chance to forget a dose. If you take a drug in the morning, for example, try placing the container by your toothbrush. Whenever you're prescribed a new med, plan when you're going to take it down to the hour, location, and associated activity. If you're taking multiple daily meds, a pill box might be a better bet. Standard ones, many of which are less than $20, have a compartment for each day of the week. More elaborate options allow you to group medications according to those you take in the morning, afternoon, and evening via detachable 3x7 or 4x7 grid. No matter the design, fill your pill reminder at the start of the week of each week in accordance with your planned regimen, and do not deviate from that. Trying to keep straight all of the things that you need to take and making sure you're doing them on a regular basis is... I can tell you from firsthand experience, it gets to be more challenging with each year that goes on for lots of reasons. This article says, more reasons to cut sugar. Adults who got 10% or more of their daily calories from sugary drinks like soda had a 44% higher risk of heart-related death and a 14% higher risk of death from any cause over 6 years than those who got less than 5% of their calories from such drinks. That's according to a study of 13,440 people. It didn't prove that sugary drinks cause the death, but research says the high consumption can hike the risk of diabetes, inflammation, and high blood pressure. The American Heart Association recommends that women get no more than 25 grams, which is 6 teaspoons of sugar a day, and men 36 grams, which is 9 teaspoons. A 12-ounce can of sugar-sweetened soda, cola, has about 39 grams, so... One can of soda, you know, a non-diet version of things, can it exceeds both the daily intakes for both men and women for that. So drink those cautiously. This is a healthy way to get more protein. This is up your intake of plant sources, and here's how. Only 5% of Americans call themselves vegetarian, but more and more people are realizing the health and environmental benefits of replacing some of the meat in their diet with plant sources of protein. According to a recent report by Mintel, a market research agency, 32% of those 55 and older are trying to eat more plant-based foods. Even among those who call themselves carnivores, 25% aim to increase their intake. Numerous studies have linked diets that swap meat, especially red meat, for plant proteins such as beans and nuts, with better heart health and overall lower risk of dying early. A 2019 report in The Lancet found that if plant-based diets become the norm, it could prevent up to 11.6 million deaths per year globally, and the report stressed, help preserve water, soil, and energy resources. Ready to start eating more plant-based foods, but still have questions about how to do it right? Here are some answers to help you eat well. Do I have to stop eating meat? Replacing even just a few meaty meals with meatless ones can lead to improvements in health, such as lower cholesterol and blood pressure, and less fat around your middle. Larger waistlines are associated with a higher risk of diabetes and heart disease. A 2016 study of 131,342 people found that trading just 3% of calories from red meat for an equivalent amount of plant protein resulted in a 12% lower risk of dying from any cause. If plant protein replaced processed red meat, such as deli meat or hot dogs, it equated to a 34% lower risk of death. A recent review published in the Circulation Journal analyzed 36 studies comparing diets high in red meat with diets high in other types of animal and plant protein. The researchers found that eating plant protein in place of red meat resulted in a total decrease in cholesterol and a decrease in the LDL, which is the bad cholesterol. But even swapping a single serving of red meat with an equivalent amount of nuts or soybeans resulted in improved cholesterol levels. And a 2018 study that compared a low-calorie vegetarian diet with low-calorie Mediterranean diet, which included moderate amount of meat, poultry, and fish, found that the two were equally effective at promoting weight loss. Can I get enough protein? Yes. Although meat is very high in protein, a 3-ounce steak packs about 26 grams, for instance, it's not the only way to meet your protein goals. Almost all plant foods have some protein, even fruits and vegetables. Foods like beans, nuts, and soy are the most concentrated sources. Protein is essential for keeping your muscles strong, something that becomes even more important as you get older because we tend to lose some muscle mass as we age. And a 2019 study found that protein, especially from plants, helps control the low-level inflammation that increases with age and contributes to disease. Older people should aim for at least 0.6 grams of protein per pound of body weight per day, about 90 grams for someone who weighs 150 pounds. Exercise is also a key for maintaining muscle. But why are plant proteins good? A diet rich in plant protein-based foods helps keep a number of important nutrients that are lacking in the typical American diet. Fiber, a nutrient many people fall short on, is one of them. Fiber does more than just keep you regular. It can help to lower cholesterol, regulate blood sugar, lower your risk of colorectal cancer, and prevent weight gain. Men older than 50 should have at least 30 grams of fiber per day, women at least 21 grams. A 2014 study found that the average vegan diet, which includes no animal products, provides about 41 grams of fiber per day. An even semi-vegetarian diet, defined as eating meat or fish no more than once a week, supplies about 34 grams. To give you an idea, one cup of cooked chickpeas has 13 grams of fiber, a half a cup of almonds has 9 grams, and one cup of cooked quinoa also has 5 grams. Plant-based diets are also rich in potassium and antioxidants, such as vitamin C and carotenoids. Potassium helps to regulate blood pressure, something that becomes increasingly important with age. More than 60% of people 60 and older have high blood pressure, according to the National Center of Health Statistics. Antioxidants help prevent the buildup of oxidized compounds in the body, which may be the precursor to chronic diseases such as cancer, heart disease, and Alzheimer's. They may also help your skin to protect itself from sun damage and premature signs of aging. Are all plant-based diets equally healthy? It's as easy to load up on junk food and empty calories on a plant-based diet as it is in a meatier one. Unhealthy plant-based diets are as bad, if not worse, than the typical American diet. replacing meat with nutrient-poor foods like French fries and sugar-sweetened beverages is not beneficial. In some studies that compared high-quality plant-based diets, which are rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, and legumes, with low-quality ones, which included more fruit juice, refined grains, potatoes, and sweets, only the high-quality diets decreased the risk of heart disease, diabetes, and obesity. Although much of the current research is focused on the importance of replacing red meat with plant protein, a small study published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition compared both plant protein and white meat, such as poultry, with red meat. The researchers found that only the plant-based diet resulted in lower LDL cholesterol numbers. Choosing white meat over red meat had no positive effect on LDL cholesterol. So how do I get started? Your strategy for eating less meat should start by ridding your diet of processed meat and limiting red meat. Processed meat can be high in sodium and saturated fat, which can harm your heart. And research shows that eating just 1.8 ounces a day increases colon and rectal cancer by more than 15%. When it comes to making protein-rich, meat-free meals, try adding plant protein to dishes you're already familiar with. That could mean using less ground beef and more beans in your chili, replacing half the meat in your bolognese with tofu crumbles, or blending ground lentils or nuts into a burger patty. Or try the nine plant-based meal ideas on the next page. To go meatless 1 or 2 days a week, aim for 1 or 2 meatless meals a day. The key is to experiment until you find a healthy plant-based foods that you love. So they offer some recipes for 9 easy meals without meat. There's a banana berry almond toast, carrot cake oatmeal, and tropical chia pudding. For lunches, they have quinoa chickpea tabbouleh, unwrapped veggie sushi, or loaded sweet potato. And finally, for dinner, it says super easy tacos, which have all plant-based items in them, a peanutty tofu bowl, or finally, a tomato and olive pasta. So some of those sound good. Some of them. It's nothing like still having a little bit of meat whenever you would like it. Well, that brings our health hour or half hour to a close today. Again, my mailbox is 3030. If there's anything I can do to make this more enjoyable for you, I'm happy to look it up and to talk to you about that. Otherwise, I wish you a healthy week. Have a good day and take care of yourselves. See you.